On the outside, I was an all-American guy. I was in my mid-30s, married, had two young children, and good job traveling all over the world and just doing really important stuff. I was even a leader in my church. And I was in love. It was so exciting. I was in love with someone who I thought was kind and sensitive and, I don't know, just caring. One of the best people I knew. The only problem was, it was the wrong person. I was in love with myself. And because of that, and a lot of the things that grew out of that, our marriage was in trouble. And we decided to go to counseling, and I figured, you know, this guy will get my wife squared away, and everything will be good. Because I was the great guy, you know? I loved him. And we went to counseling, and it didn't take very long before our Christian counselor said, you know, Bob, I think we need to have a psychological evaluation done on you. So I said, okay, I'll do that. So I went to the psychologist, took all these really weird tests, and they determined that I had five fairly significant psychological problems. And they told my wife, you know, this guy, there's not a lot of hope for this guy. And there's not a lot of hope for your marriage. And it was a very, very difficult time. And I knew that something had to change. And for those of you who have been Christians for a while, you're probably going to think at this point, he's going to tell us that he accepted Christ. And everything was happy after that. The only problem was, I'd been a Christian for 15 years. So where do I turn now? You know, my walk with Christ did not exist. I was a Christian, but it just wasn't working. And I knew something had to change. And you know what? You may be wondering to yourself, how could I be a Christian for 15 years and be so messed up? And as I've thought back about that, I realized that there were some things about my salvation and my conversion that I knew and I believed, and there were some things that happened that I just didn't understand. And the things that I believed, one was that, oops, my notes are out of order here. I'm getting these squared away here. One was that I believed that my sins were forgiven. I believed that. And there's a verse, Acts 10:43 tells us that to him all prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. So I knew that was the case, okay? I knew that my sins were forgiven. And I also knew that I was going to heaven. As a matter of fact, that's one of the reasons that I became a Christian, because I didn't want to go to hell. So I knew I was going to heaven, and John 5:24 tells us that, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. So I knew I was going to heaven. And Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through our Lord. And I also knew that I had this thing going on inside of me called the flesh. I didn't quite understand what that was, but it was really giving me a pretty hard time. There was a war going on inside of me, and I was not winning. And so those were the things that I knew, but there were some things that I didn't understand. And one of them was that before I was a Christian, I was what you would call a slave to sin. And we all are, okay? And when I died, I was crucified together with Christ. God did that. And he broke that connection, right? So no longer was I a slave to sin. It doesn't mean never going to sin again. My wife knows that well. Anybody that knows me knows that's true. But it means that at that point that I had a choice. Before I became a Christian, you know what? I was just a slave and I did it. But now I had a choice. I didn't have to sin. And the other thing that I knew was that I had this thing inside of me called the flesh. And I didn't quite understand it. You know, people talked about living in the flesh all the time. I didn't quite understand what that meant. But what I learned was, you know, that was kind of that selfish part of me. That part of me that always wanted to be the most important guy in the room. The part of me that wanted to be first. The part of me that didn't want to be told what to do. The part of me that always had to be right. That was my flesh. And it wasn't pretty. And, you know, I don't quite, I'm going to have a little conversation with God about this before, when I get to heaven. But I'm going to say, why didn't you take care of this, you know? But I, as I thought about that, I think God leaves us with that because, A, we have a free will. You know, we can make choices about what we do. And he didn't just want, when I became a Christian, you know, you're just this robot and we do whatever. He gave us a choice. And also, one of the things that has helped me build this relationship that I have with God and built it deeper is the struggle and the learning to overcome that power of the flesh and to live a life for Christ. The other thing I didn't understand all that well was that I was made new. When I received Christ, I was created new. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. I really didn't understand that. And the old has gone, the old has passed away, and behold, all has come new, become new. So, once I began to get my arms or my mind around this and began to understand this, it really helped me a lot to understand my walk with Christ. And I came to a point in my life. Here I was, my mid-30s. I'm a mess. My marriage a mess. Hurt a lot of people. And I had a decision that I had to make. And really, as I thought about this, I had one of three choices that I could make. The first choice was I could just keep on doing what I was doing, living the way that I was living. And I really didn't want to do that. It was bad. The second choice was that I could work hard to become a better Christian. Just put my nose to the grindstone and just do better at this life, this Christian thing that I had accepted. And the third thing was, I could surrender. I could surrender and say, God, I can't do this. And you ask anybody, and especially my wife, and she would say, that's right. I can't do this. And we all know that, right? It is impossible to live the Christian life. It's impossible. You can't do it. But we work hard at it. We do. Many, many times when things are not going the way we want, you know, well, if I just buckle down and I just do this differently and I just do that differently, but it's not possible. The only way that we can do this is through the grace and the power of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And so there may be somebody in this room today. Hopefully you're not nearly as messed up as I was, okay? But there may be somebody in this room today that might be struggling with something, struggling with some kind of sin. Perhaps it's jealousy, anger, envy, lust. The list goes on and on. Maybe you're struggling with something. And you know what? You know, as I thought about it, back at that time, when I was having to make that decision, believe it or not, besides all the carnage, I was really in a good place. Because I knew at that point that I had failed. I knew that I had to do something different. I knew that. I wasn't thinking, well, it'll be okay tomorrow, you know, or if I just work a little harder at this, I'm going to be fine. I knew it. And so I think for you as well, you can consider yourself at that place right now where you can make the same decision. You can either just keep on doing what you're doing. You can work harder at trying to be a good Christian. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with that, except when you try and do it in your own power. It gets really ugly. You know, I'm nice to somebody, it's like, or maybe I overcome some sin in my own strength. It's like, ah, look what I did. You know, it's not a pretty picture. So you can either do it in your own strength, or you can do what I did and choose to surrender. And when I did that, God began to teach me some things that I didn't understand. And one of them is that the Spirit of God lives in us. And you all know that. We talk about that all the time, you know. But he really opened my eyes to this and taught me that the Spirit of God that lives in us. And he's there to teach us the truth. And you know what? When you open your Bible, the Word of God is impossible for a human to understand. You can't understand it. You may think you can, but the deep truths of God are not able to be understood by mere man. They're not. And the Scriptures tell us this. 1 Corinthians 2:13 says, "And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual." So you open the Bible, you need the Spirit of God to make that come alive. And he takes the truths of the Word of God and he makes them real to us. He brings them and makes them real. And I think that happens in a lot of different ways, but probably the three main ones were, one, when we read the Word of God. You've had it happen. You're reading through and all of a sudden, wow, some truth just comes alive. It's like, I never understood that before. And the Spirit of God has illuminated that for you. The other time is when you're listening to a message. Jason's up sharing, or Ken, or Jeremiah or Drew or anybody, they're sharing, or you're hearing something from the Word of God. Somebody's sharing the truth with you. And the other, the third one, probably one of the primary ones, is we're working through life. And things happen. Things happen we don't understand. Or we're doing things, and it's why. And we turn to the Spirit of God, and He begins to open our eyes. And that's one of His roles that He does. The other thing is that I learned about the Spirit of God and what He does is He's the source of power in our lives. That source of power. And he gives us power over our thoughts. I call Him the great interrupter, okay? So I'm thinking away, my mind's going, it's like, if that guy just would quit doing that, and if he wouldn't have said that, I'm going to tell him this. And it's like, psh, Bob, hello? What are you thinking about? What are you thinking about? And he interrupts me. And I go, oh, man. And it's like, I'm not thinking right here. And so he's the great interrupter. And he really helps me, and he can help you, and I'm sure he does, to think clearly, very clearly. By the way, if you're trying to follow this in the outline, forget it. I'm sorry, I should have told you that. It's a little late, I'm sorry, but I changed this like 13 times since I sent Karen the outline. Sorry about that. But he helps us think clearly. And you know what? I think a lot of times, and talks about this in James, before we head into sin, we spend some time thinking about it, right? You know, and that's really the best place to stop and to not do that sin. Because once you start down that slippery slope, it is really, really hard to stop. So he catches us when we're starting to think about it. And he'll say, what are you thinking, Bob? And you know, the important thing about this is that he always does this in love. He's not like, you know what? You're an idiot for thinking that. What are you thinking that? Don't you know anything? Who are you? No. If you ever hear those words in your mind, put them out. That is not the Spirit of God. God always brings and speaks to us in love. No shame, none of that. It's in love. And the other thing he is he gives us power over that flesh thing I was talking about. And basically, this is probably one of my favorite verses. It is Romans. It might even be in the outline. I don't know if you can mark it down. But it's Romans 8, 12, and 13. He says, so then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. So we don't have to do that. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. I'm perfect proof of that. I was dying. But here's the important part. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the flesh, you will live. If by the Spirit. So when you are tempted to sin, you've got that three choice thing again, right? You can either go ahead and do it, right? You can try and overcome that temptation, overcome that desire in your flesh. Oh, I want to do it. I'm not going to do it. I want to do it. I'm not going to do it. I want to do it. And then if you don't, it's like, yeah, look how great I am, you know. So it's just, so you can try and overcome it in the power of your flesh, or you can turn to the power of the Spirit of God and have Him give you victory over those desires that you have, and He will. And He does. You know, when I have this flashlight here. And, you know, we all know what flashlights are for. They're to give off light, right? And all you have to do is flip. flip the switch, and it gives off life. This one doesn't seem to be working. Monty, thank you. So, what happens here when I add something new to this flashlight? I flip the switch, and out comes the light. Now, it doesn't matter what this flashlight would do, how hard it would try to give off light, if it didn't have the battery. You'd look at it and say, you're stupid, right? It won't work. But what changes? That power that came from outside in is what gives us, in the same way in our walk with Christ, the ability to overcome things. And so when we're tempted to sin, we have the same decision to make, right? I'm either going to go do it, I'm going to try real hard to not do it, or I'm going to draw upon the power of the Spirit of Jesus Christ and overcome this problem. And He will do it. Because that's why He's here. That's why Jesus Christ died on the cross. He will do it. The second thing that I learned was that I was a new creation. And God really began to open up my eyes and my mind to this. And there's another verse that He gave me. Actually, it's my life verse. He says, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So we're His workmanship. He made us. He regenerated us. He recreated us. We are His. And He also says here that God has good things for us to do. So He's got purpose for us. And the cool thing about it is that He kind of laid out the path for us to do those things before the foundation of the world. So it's like there's a path here for me that's been laid out for me to walk down. And the other part of this, part of being a new creation, and this was really, I would say, one of the turning points for me, is that I learned that I was not just a sinner. You know, you've heard that. We're just sinners saved by grace, okay? We're just beggars trying to tell other beggars where to find bread. That is not true. God calls me a priest. He calls me a saint. That's what I am. And this really had a significant impact on me, because you know what? When I would go out to sin, I would be tempted and I'd say, you know what? I did it yesterday. I did it the day before. I'm not even going to try and resist anymore, because this is just who I am. I'm a sinner and this is what I do. Even as a Christian, I believe that. And that is not true. So now I can look at this temptation that might come into my life, and I might be tempted to go do it, and the Spirit of God will remind me, say, Bob, that's not who you are. You don't do those things anymore. I delivered you from that. You have power to not do those things. And that truth really made a big difference in my life. So, understanding those truths, I began to learn that I could live my life in victory. And that God had given me everything that I needed. everything. I didn't really have to ask him for anything more, because when he gave us Christ, he gave us everything. Everything we need. And he gave me the Spirit of God. I'm a systems guy, and I think the system that God created is incredible. Incredible. He gave us everything we need, and it works. It's not like some of the stuff I've dreamt up that no prayer of working. You know, it works. And it works perfectly. And so we have what we need. He gave us the Spirit to guide us into truth. And you know what? All we have to do is ask. So I'd like you guys to bow your heads now. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. I'd like you to just bow your heads, okay? And perhaps there's some people here in here that don't know Jesus Christ, that haven't made a decision to accept Christ as their Savior. I would like to give you the opportunity to do that. It's pretty simple. All you have to do is acknowledge the fact that you're a sinner. And you can just accept Christ's death and resurrection for your sin. And you can invite Christ to come into your life. And if you do that, he will forgive your sins. He'll give you a new life. And he'll dwell in you forever. Now, for those of you who already know Christ, but perhaps you're struggling in an area of your life, you're struggling in an area that you just can't get victory. Perhaps you're living your life in the flesh. I would like to invite you today to surrender your life to Christ, perhaps again. Tell him about this challenge, this struggle that you're having, or the many challenges. And thank him for living inside of you. Thank him for giving you the Spirit of Jesus Christ, and ask the Spirit of God to guide you into the truth. And he will do that. So let's all pray together. Father, thank you for your unending love. Thank you for coming and dying and rising again, and inviting us to share eternity with you in heaven, but also for being willing to live inside of us as we walk here on earth. We just surrender our lives to you, Father, and accept the grace and the love and the mercy that you've given us so freely. Amen.
Thanks, Bob. I was kind of contemplating Bob's message this week and what he was going to share. I thought, you know, here's a perfect song in response. This song, All I Have Is Christ. That's what we have. And I want to invite you to stand and let's just acknowledge that together, that all we have is Christ. It's Christ in us. That's the hope of glory.